righty then, I managed to push all the right buttons and keys, and Revere High School football coach Lou Ciccatelli is on board right now, along with Tim Kearns. And coach, we talked on Saturday, but we want to revisit that game, and congratulations, you guys are now 2-0.
Yep, 2-0, off to a good start. Played very well. I think both teams played very well, and we were just fortunate enough. We had five straight possessions in the game that resulted in touchdowns and 2-point conversions, and we were kind of able to pull away there. And we held on and finished strong at the end, and we'll take 2-0 going into Everett and see where it goes.
All right, let's talk about the Lynn English game, coach, and then I know Tim's going to be picking your brain as well. But, you're talking, 50, 60 points in that game. A lot of offense for any fans who might have been watching it. Tell me a little bit about the offense that you guys put up.
Yeah, well, we did a lot of damage. Our two running backs, Billy Ginepra had 144 yards and a touchdown, 2-point conversion. Adetayo Adetebi had 154 yards, 2 touchdowns. So right there alone on the ground, you're looking at close to 300 yards rushing the football, which it was so windy. Well, probably one of the windiest games I'd ever seen in my career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like 24-mile-per-hour winds, and Calvin was still able to throw the football. He hit Dylan Day for a nice 60-yard pass down the middle to set up another drive, and he had a few little outs and whatnot, and he did a lot of damage with his feet early on in the first quarter, which really, I think, got the offense going. You know, it was close. We didn't score until scored in the first drive, but it was a long drive, and Calvin kept the drives going with, two rushing fourth down conversions.
Mm.
And I think from that point, he was making things happen. The running game opened, the pass game opened, and the offensive line clicked, and we were off to the races.
I know Tim's there somewhere.
Oh, well, I thought you were going to continue with it. Coach, most of Calvin's passes just quick outs because of the wind. You wanted to shorten the amount of field he had to throw across, and that would enable him really to keep a tight spiral on the ball and be much more accurate with his throwing.
Yeah, there was no doubt. We were throwing a lot of slants and outs and stuff like that, hitches, some curls, expand the curl zone a little bit there. But, yeah, it had to be short balls. He did throw a nice rope down, like I said, to Dylan Day. But it was tough throwing the football. And I'll tell you, the quarterback for English had a cannon. I mean, we watched this kid. He has a very, very strong arm. And you could see a couple of times he was throwing the ball to the sideline, some drags and whatnot, a little deep, 12 to 15 yards, and the wind just took it away. So we were just trying to take whatever we could just to keep the defense off kilter a little bit.
Now, with the kids, obviously the blocking assignments were executed extremely well. So a lot of kudos go to that offensive line that you've managed to put together there.
Yeah, they did a great job. I'm going to mention them all because they played a great, great football game. Dominic Reed, Max Doucette, Ryan Doucette, his brother, Alamadi Alcudi, it was his first game playing a varsity start. Josema Martinez and Dylan Day. Listen, they were getting a good push up front against a very, very big, the biggest defensive line we've seen in a while, from Lynn English. And, the tailbacks were able to bust through and get some big yards. And anytime you can carry the football, as a team and come up with close to 300 yards rushing, it's a good night. It's a good night. And that's exactly what we did.
One of the things that Paul Ingram always talked about, because he had such great success running the wing T, and you look at some of the linemen, you go, how did you do that with kids that size? And Paul always talked about the importance of good technique, of executing the technique especially the zone blocking that they would use, that, you know, you're not going to block the guy directly in front of you. You're going to take the guy to your right, to your left. You're going to hit him, you know, on the thigh. You want to turn him, and that's all you need. If your running backs are where they're supposed to be, all that lineman has to do, no matter how big the other kid is simply get him to turn and create a gap, and those running backs will exploit it. And that's why Paul was so successful. I remember for a number of years, his interior guys were like 5'10", 170.
Yeah.
But they were just smart, tough kids.
Yeah, and they learned from one of the best. I learned from Paul a little bit. I used to have coffee with Paul, believe it or not. I'd meet him down at Marty's Donuts in Ipswich and pick his brain, because who ran the wing T better than Paul? No one. And I've been running it's the truth. And I've been running the wing T for a long, long time. That's what I learned. That's what I did. We've incorporated some RPO stuff on it, but it's still the wing T. All the blocking is still the same. And you're right. It's giving little kids a chance, and it's all about angles. Angles. Right.
Angles. That's what Paul would say. Yeah. Down. Angles. Yeah. And you know, Lou, Kevin Fassett, I just talked with him last week. Very successful high school coach at Ipswich High School before he decided to leave this year. I don't know, probably between Coach Fassett and Coach Ingram, I'm not going to mention how many years difference there is, but there's a big year, a lot of difference in years. And Coach Fassett was saying that he was picking Coach Ingram's brain as well. So you guys are in a pretty good fraternity, even though you compete against one another. You still learn from each other?
Oh, big time. I love, the NEC was great, but when Paul was there, Paul's a great guy. I love Paul. Much respect for him. You know, and, I would sit down with him anytime I had a chance. I had some of his videos that I would look at too.
Yep.
I mean, the guy, very, very successful, and it's an offense that I loved, and, I try to evolve at Revere High School since I've been there a long time. And yeah, I mean, it gives your kids a chance, the wing T. And the camaraderie between, you know, you say that, it's funny. Everybody respected everybody in the NEC when we were there. The NEC was a great league. I mean, I don't think there are any coaches that disliked anybody. And I'm sure it's going to be the same way in the GBL.
Mm-hmm.
At least I hope so.
Well, yeah, you guys are on a mission. And Coach Kearns will, you know, he's part of it too. You guys, you're educators, you're surrogate fathers, for heaven's sakes. And you love the sport and your competitors, and you have to, relay that to the kids, and you lift them up. And so, each of you knows that. And even if you don't, even if you compete on the field and you got different levels of talent and so on, you're each doing that. And Tim, you know what I'm trying to say here. It's a matter of working with the kids and just making them compete and learn as best as you can teach them. You know what I'm saying, Tim?
Yeah, it's one of the side jobs you don't go into coaching thinking about. It's just along the way situations are going to arise where you're going to have to be an advisor, a comforter, a redirector sometimes. You've got to be a shoulder. You know, sometimes you got to be stern with the kids to have them understand. And I know Lewis had to deal with this in his career as well, because the kids have to know that there are penalties to be paid for bad decisions, and it doesn't have to ruin one's life, but it does affect the immediate future at times.
Yeah. And the thing with the wing T, too, you know, and everybody that's running it, you know, I have my, for example, my offensive coordinator, Paul Norton, he's just done a tremendous job for me the last 2 years. And I'll be honest with you, it's all wing T, but he added the RPO stuff to it, too. We went to a lot of different workshops, we all did, and we were sold on it because the wing T actually fits perfectly with the RPOs. It's just the way it evolved. You know, and I think if Paul was still coaching, I'm sure he'd have some of that in there for sure. No question in my mind.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, Lou, back in the day when Paul was an assistant coach, you know, he was a quarterback out at Springfield, and he worked with all the kids at quarterback. And, he, you know, for year after year, whether it was Danvers or Beverly, wherever he was, you know, he worked with the kids passing, and they always had the best passing quarterback. So you're right. You guys have to adapt, don't you? I mean, you got to figure out what the times are, what your talent is, and then you got to see, how much you can get out of these guys. And certainly, Lou, you got to feel good about this class that you have right now this year. And tell me a little bit more about these kids and how they're meshing together.
Yeah, they're a real special group. I can say that. I mean, we had 20 seniors coming back this year, and they felt like 10-1. We had a great season. We won the NEC, but we went to Melrose. We got it handed to us, and they feel like they still need some closure. And I think I know I do, and I know some of the coaches do too. I mean, you always stay hungry. And these kids are a hungry bunch. They put a lot of work in on their own during COVID in the weight room. They're all very close to each other, which I preach. I think it's 80% of it. I mean, any good football coach will tell you that. You know, it's about building relationships with each other and just working hard together. My quarterback, Calvin Boudreau, he's coming into his own. He makes things happen. He can throw the football. He's also very mobile now. He got faster from last year. And, a lot of that is just working hard in the off season, like all those kids did. The offensive line, we lost 3 starters last year from the offensive line. But some of these kids that filled in, it almost feels like we haven't missed a beat. I mentioned all that. In my running backs, Billy Ginepra, Adateo, Mark Galvez, another big player that we have this year, and then of course, some guys on defense, that have really come on their own. John Tron, another 3-year starter linebacker. These guys, my 2 defensive ends, Ken Ventura, and gone a blank. Augusto Gonzalez. They both started last year, so it's good to have some of those guys back. And it does make a difference, and they're definitely on a mission, and they want to finish.
Well, I'm going to give Tim the final question here in 1 second, but there's no disgrace in losing to Melrose. They've slapped the NEC around a couple of times, just like Tewksbury has. So, that happens. But, Coach, you got the big one coming up. So tell us about this game coming up this week, where it's going to be, and your assessment of them. And then I'll let Tim finish it up with you guys.
Sure, sure. So the game's in Everett. It's at 6:00, Everett Stadium, Friday night. It's basically for the GBL championship. When you do the math, this is the game. This is it. So it's a lot. Again, it was one of our early goals this year. We wanted, like every team, especially with COVID, you want to win your conference. So I mean, that alone is really, really important to us. And we're gonna have our work cut out for us, no doubt. They are a very, very good, talented, big, fast football team. We've only had one film on them, and we've broken it down as much as possible. We still got more things to do with it, but I can tell you this: the speed alone is scary. They got some speed. They come hard every play, and their secondary is probably one of the best secondaries I've seen in a while. They got a couple of kids that are going D1.
Oh, my.
Kids going to BC, and I want to say Wake Forest. And, but at the end of the day, what I've been telling my kids, too, is, I think we're going to be okay. I think we match up well with them. I think we can score on anybody. My message to the kids is simply, they're men just like you and I, and they put their pants on every morning just like you and I. So guess what? It comes down to who wants it more that night, and we'll be ready, they'll be ready, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, Coach, I was thinking about this this matchup, and, I'm sure there was a lot of speculation around the GBL and some other leagues that, Johnny DiBiase leaves and goes to CM, and with him would go the Everett mystique, the Everett dominance. But his assistant has stepped in and kept the ship on its course. And it feeds into the kids, not so much a lot of times it is the coach in the way that he projects. And But the kids who have come from behind, like your kids who got time during the last season to get repetitions, to get rep, and they saw the team's success, and they saw what hard work got them, they get inspired by seeing that, and they don't want to be the ones that caused the train not to get out of the station and get to the next destination. And I think that's what drives a team like yours, and it's what's driven Everett for so many years. And I think it's going to be a great game. I'm going to be there Friday night. So.
Well, I personally, I think it's going to be one of the games of the year, in my opinion. You know, so, yeah, like I said, the boys are looking forward to it. And you're right, this is a chance for some of these kids last year that played, you know, a lot, and some that played a little, to step up and, like you said, keep the train going and going in the right direction.
Lou, we appreciate it. Going to check in with you this weekend, man, or next Monday, whatever. But best of luck this week. Stay safe, stay healthy. And thank you for all that you do for us, man. We really appreciate it.
Oh, always a pleasure, and thank you, guys.
All right, Coach, take care.
Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Take care, guys.
All right, that's Lou Ciccatelli, who is the Revere High School football coach, and they got a big one coming up on Friday night at Everett. And, Tim, I got to tell you, when Bill Newell and I first started broadcasting at WESX, and way back, way, way back, okay, we used to broadcast Beverly, the Beverly-Everett game. Beverly would go over to play at Everett, or Peabody, I believe it was, either one. And and Everett never won a game. It was always the NEC or the other GBL school. But since then, forget about it. Oh my goodness, what a wagon!
Yeah, they have been, and this should be again a very entertaining game. Hopefully, I don't know how many people are going to be allowed into the stadium on Friday night. We're going to hope that the weather is good. And that allows both teams to operate at in peak mode. So I'm just going to take it's partly sunny for the weather. We're doing a weather recap. It's going to be partly sunny. It's going to be 49 degrees throughout game time. So it should be good.
All right.
Good weather and good conditions, and hopefully it's going to be a good game.